This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, we seek your kingdom. Help us to see with the eyes of our heart, to know that that kingdom is already at hand. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I'm going to mention some names and see if you know the connection with these people. Merrill Bittner, Alla Bozarth Campbell, Allison Cheek, Emily Hewitt, Carter Hayward, Suzanne Hyatt, Marie Moorfield, Jeanette Picard, Betty Scheiss, Katrina Swanson, and Nancy Wittig. Any ideas who they are? And I didn't even give you a hint. 49 years ago yesterday, these 11 women were ordained to the priesthood in the Episcopal Church and became the forerunners of our openness and understanding of the importance of female leadership in our denomination. It's hard to believe that it was just 1970 when we decided it was okay for women to be seated and have voice and vote in our church. We've come a long way, baby, as the saying goes. This was something that started small 49 years ago yesterday, and it has grown into this incredible openness in our church to the diversity in which God has created all of us. And perhaps above all, that's the message that we get from this gospel today. Jesus not only gives us one parable today, he gives us six. Don't worry, we're not going to be here all day. But I do want to highlight some of the commonalities and the understanding that we can get from these stories that Jesus tells. Now, the one we're going to start with is the one that Jesus starts with, and that's the mustard seed. And this is one particular parable that is in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's very close in the way that the wording goes. It's just those two short verses, a few different words, but the same meaning in all three. So if we put up the first slide, if we can, we have this wonderful shot of these tiny mustard seeds. Now, what is amazing about mustard seeds are many things, but those of you who went to the Holy Land with us some years ago might remember our tour guide when we were at the Church of Lazarus pointed to this little plant that found something in the cracks between the stones and the walls where there was some dirt, and a plant had started to grow there. And he pointed out to us, that's a mustard plant, because it'll grow anywhere. And it is a very invasive species. We know about that, don't we? And so if you try to bring mustard seeds back into the U.S., if you get caught, man, you're going to be in trouble. They'll take it from you because how invasive it is. We go to the next slide. You can see this is a group of pilgrims, thanking to our Walking the Text folks who provided this photo. They're walking amidst mustard plants. They grow everywhere. They just take over. We go to the next slide, and we see another area of this mustard plant growing. But there is also another version of the mustard plant that grows into more of a bush or a tree, as Jesus would say. And if we go to the next slide, you can see growing up there, it looks more like a bush or even a tree. It's important for us, in terms of this parable, to understand how invasive it grows and how from just that tiny little seed, there is so much good or bad that can happen. It's important for us to understand this because Jesus tells this particular type of parable because people are starting to wonder, there's nothing happening, Jesus. I thought your kingdom was coming. Where's the power? Where's the glory? Where's the dominance over all of these oppressors that we have? God. It starts small. There's a lot of little things that are going on. Some with the seeds, some under the ground, with the treasure, with the pearl that's inside of that little mollusk, with all of these ways in which we need to understand that that's how things start. Because it's a special day today, I want to do a little, go off the charts a little bit to talk about David. It's his birthday today. So it was over 10 years ago where we were without an organist. And I didn't know what we were going to do at this church. And the phone rang. And David might tell the story a little differently, but this is how I remember it. I answered the phone, and the person said, "My name is David, and I'm your new organist and choir director." And through the course of that discussion, we came to an agreement that, well, you need to learn if you really like us, and we really need to learn if we really want you, so why don't you come and just do supply next Sunday, and then we'll go from there and see how it goes. We started small. After that Sunday, there were literally 12 members of the choir who came up to me and said, "Hire this guy." And in all of these years, we have seen the blossoming of so much ministry that David is not just an organist and a choir director, that David is a true minister in this church and continues to do so much under the radar that has borne so much fruit. Mustard seeds make a difference. Now, back to these six parables. Number two, yeast. So, we all know what yeast does. A little bit can go a long way. Now, when Jesus uses these parables, he always uses images that the people could understand, things in their daily life. I mean, probably when he gave this one about the mustard seed, they might have been even in the middle of a field with all of that mustard stuff growing right there. So they understood it. Well, they understood about yeast too. So he uses that particular one. So I want to use a more practical illustration that is more up to date for people my age. I love Lucy. Now, you might remember this episode, but it's my very favorite scene in all of I Love Lucy's, even more than the chocolate factory one that we always see, huh? But Lucy decides with Ethel they're going to bake bread, but she uses too much yeast. If we can show the video clip, we see what happens.
Yeah. Open the oven.
Oh, open the oven.
There. Come on now, yeah. Look out. Oh! There. Now, see, the oven's all preheated, like it says. And in a couple of hours, we'll have some nice homemade bread. Hey, you smell bread? Maybe it's done. How's this oven door get open?
Small things grow into big things. This is important. From what we choose to do and from the perspective of what we should choose not to do. Jesus is going to go on, and as we just heard, he talks about treasure in a field, another practical example they would have understood. In those days, there weren't safe deposit boxes, there weren't banks, and they lived in Palestine in an area where they had to deal with invaders. And so it was a natural thing, if you knew they were coming, you would want to hide those valuable possessions, and the best way to hide it was in the ground. Well, unfortunately, with many of those invasions, the people who had hid those valuable items were killed. And so now you have valuable things in the field, and nobody's going to know about it until somebody starts to turn up the soil. And so here we have this practical example that they would understand. The man discovers something in that field and knows it's so valuable that he sells everything that he has and buys that field. And it becomes for us. So if we're talking about a mustard seed, if we're talking about the yeast, what is it in our lives that is so small but so valuable that we would give away everything else to get that one thing? And that's what Jesus is saying. In terms of the kingdom, how much do we value what Jesus is putting before us? He also goes on with another one they'd understand, with the pearl of great price, of course. If someone's trained to understand how valuable it is, they're going to sell everything they have and seek that. Seeking the things that truly last. He goes on. He talks about the net and the fish, and you catch all these fish, and it's acknowledgement that there are some who are keepers and there are some that are thrown back. And that doesn't mean we stop fishing, but it's an understanding that as we go about work in the kingdom of God, there are things that we keep, there are things that we throw away. So what is it in our lives that we are seeking? Are we putting our energies in the mustard seeds, the yeast, the treasure in the field, the pearl, the things that are truly of most value, and being able to put aside everything else? The important point that Jesus wants to make to those people who are around him is that we might not see things happening right away. They didn't see the kingdom coming as they perhaps had envisioned it. And that's why he goes into that last parable about taking the new and taking the old. That their old notion of one coming to bring the kingdom, yes, but it's a new way. It's in God's way. And this kingdom is going to start small. And that thin place that we all seek might not be found up here, but might be right there under the ground. And it becomes crucial for us not to get discouraged when we don't see the results right away. It takes time. And it's important for us as we continue to discern with God's wisdom, what we are called to be and what we are called to do as individuals, as a people, as a church, to not get discouraged when the results aren't happening right away. Because God assures us that all things work together unto good to those who love God. This reading of Romans 8 that we hear so often when we're sending people off to heaven is a very good one for us today. If you're feeling in your life or in your job or whatever is going on that you're discouraged because you aren't seeing the results, read Romans 8 tonight. And substitute wherever there's a plural we, and substitute I. Make it personal for yourself. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because all things work together unto good for me who loves God. That's an important message for us. There is a hidden warning in there too for us. Mustard seeds can be invasive. You use too much of the wrong kind of yeast and you're going to end up with a huge loaf of bread in your belly. There are ways in which we can choose the wrong things and start to go off the path a little bit. And it's that little bit off the path that when we start is just like this, but if we continue, we're going to end up way over here where the path is calling us to be here. In today's terminology, it's a rabbit hole that we can be sent down. You know, on social media, if you start looking at something that you really shouldn't be looking at, they're going to send you something else that's going to take you further down the rabbit hole. That's going to take you further down the rabbit hole. And before you know it, you are so off that it's hard to get back. And that is a call, I think, that Jesus is trying to give them to bring them back. You're not seeing the results right now, maybe, but understand, stay the course. As long as we are following what God is calling us to do. I think it's appropriate that the commemoration for these 11 who were the first female priests ordained in the Episcopal Church, the gospel reading for their commemoration is the first resurrection appearance of Jesus to those ladies. And I think it's so appropriate because it takes that mustard seed, that kingdom idea, you might not have seen it, you might not have understood because it led to my death, but here's the blossoming of that tree. Here's where it all leads. So in whatever way God might be calling us right now to hang in there, in whatever way God might be calling us to let go of the things that don't really matter, but above all, understand that in God's eyes, that mustard seed, that yeast, that pearl, that treasure, that good fish, that's you. That's God's vision. May it be ours. Amen.